Am I hot? I'm hot. let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to tell you what I want tonight, Father. Father, I want your word to come out of my mouth. Father, I want your word to go into every ear that's here, Father. Father, I want your word to go into our hearts and our souls, Father. And Father, I want us to proclaim your word as we leave here, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you will do that. Because I'm asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I understand the computer's kind of on the fritz. But the wall clock's not. And guess what? It's only 6:15. So y'all will get to listen to me a long time. Or it will be a short message. One of the two. We've been doing a series on peace. And Rock started it with the first Sunday morning of this month. And this is the night where we're going to have the end of peace. Well, no, it's not the end of peace, okay? It's not the conclusion of peace, okay? Let's just say peace is complete. Okay, let's just say that. Shalom. Thank you. That's a wonderful Hebrew greeting and farewell. It's both, okay? And what it means, do you know what it means? I'm going to give you some more history here first, okay? It says, may your life be filled with health, prosperity, and victory. Is that complete?
Yes.
That's complete, isn't it? It really is. A couple more points of fact. I have a strong concordance, okay? It's called Strong's Concordance, all right? It's on the King James Version. And I looked in there, and peace, the word peace itself, in the Holy Bible occurs 429 times in the King James Version. Okay, now there's some other variances. If you add the other variances, that's 450 times that the word peace, if you will, appears. Now we think of the Bible as a love letter to us from God. And it is a love letter, okay? But the love itself, just love only appears 310 times in the King James Version. Peace overshadows love as far as the occurrence of times in the King James Version. Now, if you take all the variances of love, it appears 492 times, but that's only a few times more than peace. We don't think about that sometimes. We miss that. In the Old Testament, shalom was the word used. Yahweh Shalom, okay? God of peace, okay? And what it means in the Old Testament when it's used is a completeness, a soundness and well-being of the total person, okay? Total person. That doesn't just mean our outside circumstances, but it also means our inside spirit and soul. The total person. In the New Testament, the word used for peace is a Greek word, and it's Irene, E-I-R-E-N-E, however that's pronounced. I'm not a Greek scholar, so I can't pronounce it. But the translation for that word in the New Testament is inner tranquility and pose of the Christian. Inner tranquility and pose of the Christian, okay? Jesus spoke of peace in the New Testament in his ministry. And when he spoke of it, he spoke of it as a combination of hope, trust, quiet in mind, and so. And that's all brought about with a reconciled relationship with God. Okay? So that's how Jesus spoke of peace. What I want to do is focus in on complete here, okay? And there's somewhere I'm going with this, what I'm getting ready to share with you. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. We know that as the Ten Commandments. Now, you ever wonder why there's only Ten Commandments? It's because Moses couldn't carry more than two slabs of stone. Is that all he could carry? God says, I've got to be 550,000 over here, but you can only carry two slabs, and all I get over is 10. Well, it's not. Those Ten Commandments are the complete law of God. It carries the relationship of who He is to us and our relationship with each other and our relationship to ourselves. So it's a complete law, okay? In Isaiah 9:6, see if I can find it. You know this, you've heard this before, okay? It's the prophecy of the Messiah. And in this, 9:6, it reads, "For child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing, Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness." That's out of the Message. We are familiar with the word Prince of Peace, but the Message calls it wholeness, Prince of Wholeness, completeness, if you will, okay? In Luke 2:4, this is the birth, this is the angel's presentation to the shepherds, okay? In Luke 2:4, make sure I get this right. Luke 2:14, get the right verse here. "As the angels, glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please Him." So this is a peace that has been proclaimed by the angels to the shepherds and to all of us, okay? Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Matthew 5. I wasn't going to read that, but I will. 5, 17 and 18. This is Jesus talking about Himself, okay? He says, "Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the Scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I am not here to demolish, but to complete. I'm going to put it all together, pull it all together in a vast panorama. Complete." We just got through the Ten Laws, the Ten Commandments, what the prophets said. Those were complete laws. Jesus said, "I have not come to demolish those laws or anything the prophets said. I have come to make them complete. I have come to make them complete." And then in Revelation 1:8, this is the one we probably all can quote. Jesus says, I'm reading this out of the Message Bible, okay? Because I think it speaks so much clearer in my mind. It reads, "The Master declares, I am A to Z. I'm the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive. I'm the Sovereign Strong. I am A to Z." There isn't any more letters after Z in our alphabet. Is there anything that starts before A? So it's a complete. Right, complete. And one more, John. John. Here it is, John. John 14, 27. This is our focal verse, and this is a verse that we've read several times over the past few weeks, okay? This is how the Message reads it, and it reads so well. And this is where Jesus is talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, saying, "Hey guys, I'm not going to be here all the time. I'm getting ready to leave. And He's wanting to bring them some peace and comfort and assurance, so they're not left wondering what's going on. So Jesus says, "I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned and bereft. So don't be upset And don't be distraught. I am leaving you. This is my thing. This is my parting gift to you. I'm giving you wellness and wholeness. I'm giving you peace. And you know why he can do that, don't you? He says, I'm A to Z. I'm Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the completeness. I have come to fulfill the prophecies. I've come to fulfill the Ten Commandments of God. I am completeness. Okay? So, that's some information there. Now, what we studied about over the last few weeks. By the way, before I turn this around, I want you to think of your most favorite pie. The one you like the best. Or if you don't like pie, your favorite pizza. Or if you don't like pizza or pie, your favorite cake. But think, pick one. Pick one that's your favorite, the one that you like the best. Okay? So we got piece of pie. Not P-I-E-C-E, but P-E-A-C-E. By the way, have you ever broken down the word peace, P-I-E-C-E? What's the first three letters spell? But this is, I listened to the studies this week, and this is what the Spirit put on my heart. These simple words from these studies, but the studies were great. We begin with rock study on a Sunday morning. He spoke of atmosphere of peace, or place of peace. Where are we at? What we have to get away from sometimes, what we have to push away from, what we have to close ourselves to from. Okay. Then Jim spoke on what I heard was who we are in Christ. Who do we serve? A realization of ourselves in who our in our relationship of who we are with Christ and in Christ and through Christ. And then I listened to Rock again the second Sunday morning, and he did some of, he was a little bit of peace there. And what I got out of that was a refocus of our vision, or not vision, but what we're looking at, or where we're looking to. Refocus back from these situations in our lives or conditions in our lives back to Jesus, our main focus. And then one, this is what I heard from one, action or trust. Demonstrated tremendously in the walk of life that he did up here for us. He did. And then, Wanda, what I heard, the word that I heard there was hope. That's what I heard in that message, was that hope. Now think about this. If we're in an atmosphere or in a place where there's peace, where there can be peace, and then we realize who we are in Christ. We are the children, a child of the Most High King. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are a child of the one who is complete. And that helped, that brings us back to refocus on who Christ is in our lives. And when we have that focus of who Christ is in our life, then we can take any action because we trust Christ to make sure we are going through it. Mm-hmm. And He goes through it with us. And when we have that action and we go through that, then we have hope. There is nothing that's impossible with Christ. The word impossible is not in God's vocabulary. It does not exist. Okay? And what we have here in our lives is hope for ourselves. But even greater than that is we have hope that we can take out to someone else that may be suffering situations or conditions or whatever, and they need a peace in them. We take this out. We take with us an atmosphere. We take with us who we are. We take with us a focus on Christ. We take with us an action because we're going, and we take with us the hope that we have. Without the hope of who Jesus is, the hope of eternal life that we have today and when we are actually in heaven with God, without that hope, we don't have nothing. We're poor. We're penniless. But with it, we do. So all of these pieces here, what I heard in the teaching, brought me to one thing. All these pieces come together. Now, Now, you think about your favorite pie, right? Pizza. Somebody tell me what their favorite pie is. With an RC color, right? If you don't have an RC color, it's not any good. So when you have your favorite piece of pie or pizza or cake or whatever, is one piece enough for you?
No.
How much do you want?
The whole.
You want the whole thing, right? And isn't that what we want in our peace?
Yes.
We want the whole thing. We want the whole thing. And as Christians, we have the whole thing.
Yes.
Because we have... Jesus. Jesus is the whole pie. The whole cake, the whole pizza, whatever. And this is supposed to be a pie. It doesn't look like one, okay? But please imagine it's pie. But this is it. And what our study was, all of these pieces to me came together and brought me to the point where if I have Jesus, I have all the pieces. I have all the pieces. And I have the best pie there is. And there's no better pie. There really isn't. Now I want to take you to a couple of examples of peace within scriptures, okay? First one is a very common one that we know about. It's in Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let's see, Luke 10, 38 through 42. This is where Jesus is at the house of Martha and Mary. Okay? He shows up unexpected, right? He walks in and says, "Hi, guys, guess what? I'm here. And all of our 12 guys are with me, too." And what does Martha do? I got to fix a meal for all these 12 and the Lord and us. And so she runs off to the kitchen, right? Can you hear the pans clattering and the dishes clattering and the fire firing up and the wood going in the stove? Or not the stove, I guess, but on the fire pit. Can you hear all that going on? All that noise, all that activity, all that stuff that's happening with Martha? Now, Mary, what does she do? The Lord sits down, and what does Mary do? She comes and places herself right at the Lord's feet. You hear any clutter? You hear any clanging? You hear any kind of noise? You have an atmosphere of peace. And Mary realizes who she is. She's someone who needs to hear what Jesus has to say. She refocuses to Jesus. She's taking action by sitting there and attentively listening. Now, she's not got her iPhone out, checking out her sites and this kind of stuff, okay? She's attentively listening to what Jesus is talking about. And she has hope. And that comes to play later on. That hope comes to play later on when Lazarus is in the grave 4 days. Okay? Now, what happens to Martha? She gets a little upset. Where is this sister of mine? What is she doing? What is she doing sitting over there at the Lord's feet? Lord, you need to send Mary in here. Come on, send her in here. And the Lord says this. He said to Martha, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing." Whoops. Worked up over nothing. Now, doesn't that have a clatter, or doesn't that have a sound of storm? Does it have a sound of peace? You ever know anybody get worked up over something to have peace? When I get worked up over something, there's no peace around me. Got an amen on that. But Jesus says to Martha, one thing only is essential. And Mary has chosen it. Whoops. She's in a place of atmosphere. She knows who she is. She's refocused. And she's chosen it. She has hope. It's the main course. how adequate words to use. What is Martha doing? She's in the kitchen fixing the meal for all the people that showed up on her doorsteps without telling her anything about it. And Jesus says, Mary has the main course right here. This is the main course. And guess what? It won't be taken from her. It will not be taken from her. Now, how many of us want the main course? How many of us want this full pie? We all want this full pie, right? And when we're at Jesus' feet, Jesus has said, that ain't going to be taken from you. That you got the main course. You got what you want. It ain't going to be taken from you. Okay? So we have to remember that. Now, yes, we can turn away. Mary could have got her iPhone out and started doing something, and she lost the focus. She lost the main course. She lost her attentive listening. Okay, we can do those choices. That's a choice we have because we are given will to do that. But we also have the choice of sitting down at the feet of Jesus and having our complete pie with him,
yes.
The whole pie, and enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And just eating it up and enjoying it. Mm-hmm. That was an example I picked out, which I would call a worldly storm, a storm about everyday things. These are events. I mean, having to fix a meal for somebody, that's kind of an everyday event that could happen to anybody. And there's a lot of everyday events that we go through. So let me take you to another storm. 2, 3, okay, yeah. This one I'm calling a spiritual storm. And we're going to go to Mark for this. Mark 14:2. Now this event is also recorded in Matthew, but I chose Mark's account of the event. This is the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before his betrayal, okay? And right after he's already had the Passover supper with his disciples, he's introduced the blood and the bread and the meaning and significance of it, and he's given the promise of, I give you peace, okay? But Jesus goes to this garden. And a lot of Bible scholars believe this is a garden that Jesus visited frequently. It was a place where he found an atmosphere or a place of solitude, of quietness, of peace. But this time, it's going to be anything but peace for him for a bit. Anything but peace. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, you'll sit here with me while I go pray and pray with me. Because the message says he plunged into a sinkhole. Have you ever seen a sinkhole? Seen a sinkhole real life or maybe on TV? They just kind of appear sometimes, right? He plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. Not just agony, dreadful agony. I mean, how many of us dread going to the dentist? How many of us dread April the 15th? How many of us dread that next day we call happy birthday? This was beyond any of those dreads that we experienced. This was a dreadful agony. Jesus said, he told them, I feel bad enough right now. Now, we feel bad sometimes, okay, right? I mean, if somebody comes over to visit us and we ain't got food ready, we feel bad about that. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. It depends who it is, I guess. maybe if I don't fix them anything, we'll stay very long. We'll get rid of them real fast. Now, if it's the pastor come over, you're going to fix them a really nice meal. But Jesus says, I feel bad enough right now to die. Remember who said this? This is Jesus. This is God incarnate. This is God as man. Jesus, the Son of Man, says, I feel bad enough right now. My agony is so deep, so hard, that I could die right now. So he says, stay with me and keep Virgil, watch with me. Jesus goes a little bit ahead. He falls to the ground. And this is why the message, of course, is in Mark. Papa, Father, you can't you? This is Jesus. This is the God incarnate. Listen how this message has this written down. Father, Papa, Father, you can't you? Get me out of this. This is Jesus the man. I think this is Jesus the man experiencing a storm in his life that he has never experienced before. Even in the Sea of Galilee, when all the disciples was going crazy because it was about to be washed over and Jesus was back in a boat asleep. Even that storm was nothing compared to what the storm is right here in the Garden of Gethsemane. But it's not a storm where there's clouds, where there's winds blowing, where the trees are bending over. There's none of that visible sign of a storm. But there's an eternal, there's a spiritual storm raging right now within Jesus. Take this cup away from me. That was Jesus' plea. Take this cup away from me. But now Jesus changes a little bit. But please, God, you can do this, can't you? Take this cup away from me. But please, not what I want, but what you want. Then he came to the disciples, they were asleep. He goes back and has the same prayer again, comes back to the disciples, they're asleep, goes back and prays again, comes back to the disciples, and they're still asleep. He wakes them up. Okay. He has prayed this prayer, according to what the Scripture says, he's prayed this same prayer three times. Now we know another person, Paul, prayed three times about the thorn in his side, and God said, you know, my grace is sufficient. We don't hear in the Scriptures specifically God's answer to this prayer that Jesus made. There's nothing recorded. I don't see anything recorded specifically the answer. But what we come to realize, we hear is Jesus' response to this prayer. Jesus, the man, was in dreadful agony. He was ready to die. Jesus, the Son of God, was wanting his Father's will done. I'm not saying they're separate because they're not. Jesus was God incarnate. He was God in flesh. How that happened, I don't know. Okay, but in this battle, in this storm, Jesus, the Son of Man, had to come back and refocus on Jesus, the Son of God. Because when he did that, he wakes his disciples up and says, "Are you still?" Let's see. Came back a third time. Are you going to sleep all night? Well, yeah, I like to sleep all night. I prefer to. Don't get to do that too often because of some things that are going on. Anyway, that's beside the point. That's TMI. No, you've slept long enough. Time's up. The Son of Man, is the way the message reads this, is about to be betrayed into the hand of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer has arrived. So in this tremendous storm that the Son of Man was in, because of what he knew that he must do, he didn't want to do it because he asked the Father, is there a way to do this otherwise? But he said, please, Father, I want you to do what you want to do. The Son of Man came back and refocused on the Son of God. Came back to peace. There's the strength here, there's assurance here, but there's also an overwhelming sound of peace in what he told his disciples. Because look at what he first told his disciples. I'm in a sinkhole of dreadful agony. I don't want to die right now. And then he came back and says, no, get up. Time to go. My betrayer is here. There was an assurance and a peace there that Jesus found. And that's because Jesus is the whole pie. And he's the pie that we love the most. I want to share one personal experience with you. Last year, I went in for a prostate visit from a doctor, and the doctor says, oh, you have, I can tell you what it is, it's cancer or prostate. We talk about the peace, and we talk about peace in worldly battles, worldly storms that we have, then we talk about the peace in spiritual storms. And we talk about the peace of God, and we also talk about the peace that we can't understand. And there is a peace I speak, I know personally, there is a peace that I cannot understand. Because when that doctor said that, there was no flurry of, oh my God, I got cancer, what am I going to do? That didn't occur to me. That didn't come over my mind, didn't come into my spirit. But there was it was even greater than a sense. It was deeper than a sense. It was within my soul. But it was a calmness. It was just a calmness, a peace. If you've never experienced it, then you can't understand it. I'm sorry, you can't understand it. And if you have experienced that peace, you can't explain it. I can't explain it. I know it exists, and I know it's here, and it was more than a feeling. It was a actual knowing. It was a knowing of peace. So I went to, and when I went in for the biopsies, I walked in with Jesus, and I walked out with Jesus. And there was no cancer. I laughed at the doctor when he came back and said, oh, well, everything turned out to be, nothing there. Okay, great. I knew that. But that's, and that's a peace that God wants us to have all the time. But sometimes we don't get it. We missed the pie. We choose to miss the pie. We do. We choose to miss the pie. But there are those occasions, and this was just from my personal experience. I mean, I have other health problems too, and I could have just as well had wanted that same feeling there, but I didn't need it in those, or I didn't want it. I'm not sure which one it was, okay? I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure which one. But in this case, when that magic word, not magic word, but when that terrible word, horrible word shows up, cancer, that was when I needed it. That's when I needed it. And that's when I got it. And I just feasted on it. It was great. So remember, atmosphere, the place of where you are, who you are. Remember who you are and who you serve. Okay? And when you do that, refocus. If you've lost your focus, refocus back on the one of who you belong to. You're a child of the Most High. Okay, we are a child of the Most High. And when we realize that, refocus, then we act. We act not on our own directions, we act on what Jesus, the Spirit, is guiding us and leading us to. And we have hope. And that hope can be tremendously contagious to anyone around us that needs to know about peace. Jesus is it. Jesus is the peace of pie. Thank you. Or shalom.